Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
In a week where Elise Perry followed up her breaking of a car window by breaking WPL bowling records, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
She's got all of this again. All the deep field can do. She smashed the window of the Tata Punch.ev. Straight through. Elise Perry, they're going to be sending you a bill.
You are here with Kat Jones and Dan Liebke, and completely out of control, Elise Perry. She's just gone over to India and causing all kinds of havoc.
Yeah, the look on her face when she hit the window.
Yes, she knew she was in trouble. I do like it in the audio how the commentator still manages to integrate the sponsor into Perry's destruction of the car window. So that's a professional commentator.
That's very pro, yeah. That's fantastic. But she's not just breaking car windows, as you mentioned in the start. It's bowling record. I mean, we would have thought it was batting records, right? Yep. But no, it's bowling records now.
Yeah, so I think she went into a game against Mumbai. She hadn't taken a wicket throughout the entire WPL.
And she's playing for RCB, right?
Yes. Yeah. And then she came out and took 6 for 15 in four overs, which are the best WPL figures ever.
So imagine getting 6 wickets in four overs.
Yeah, she just went crazy. That's like a wicket every four balls.
Yeah.
Absolutely bonkers. It meant she became the first player, either man or woman, who has a century and a sixfer in first-class List A and T20 cricket.
Oh, wow.
So she's got, in first-class cricket, she's got a 213 not out. In List A, she's got 147. T20, she's got 103 not out. And her best figures are 6 for 32 first-class, 7 for 22 in List A. I think that was an ODI as well.
Yeah.
And T20, 6 for 15. So she's a handy cricketer.
Yes. Continues to be so. Who knows how many more decades?
Yes.
It's quite a few, you would imagine.
Hopefully.
But I love Alyssa Healy's performance in the WPL because earlier on, a couple of matches ago, she tackled a pitch invader.
Yeah.
What a classic kind of cricketer. It's a bucket list item for a cricketer,
isn't
it?
I think so, yeah. If a pitch invader comes on, you want to channel your inner Andrew Simons and get stuck into them. You don't want to do the Terry Alderman style where you break your shoulder. I think Alyssa Healy's more professional than that. She just put a stop to him. So good stuff from her.
Yeah.
And this is an Australian women's captain thing because Alyssa Healy, the Australian cricket women's captain, of course, Sam Kerr, the Australian women's football captain, she also shoulder charged a pitch invader at one point. So I think all the women captains of Australian sports are looking forward to doing this as much as possible.
Yes. I also like, as well as the ones who tackle, I also like the ones that just stand around and giggle at them.
Yeah.
There is something about that as well. That's happened with a few recent pitch invaders.
Mm.
So that's good. But Meg Lanning, we love to see Meg Lanning back.
Yep.
I mean, amazing to see her having fun in the WPL. But she's just doing Meg Lanning things, isn't she?
Yeah, she's not mucking about breaking car windows or doing anything. She's just getting bogged down in the business of being the top run scorer, being the captain of the team that goes to the top of the table. No fuss, no mucking about. I'm Meg Lanning. I'm going to get this shit done.
I'm eliminating the opposition, and here we are on our way to presumably winning the final.
Classic Meg.
Yep.
So there's a couple of games. So we're into the finals now, essentially. Yeah. We haven't seen an awful lot of this.
It happens overnight. Why do they play them overnight?
Well, the finals will be played overnight for us as well. So the first game will be the Eliminator Final. That will be Perry's RCB. They'll be playing the, sadly, Australian-less Mumbai Indians.
Huh.
So that was the one where she took 6 for 15 against. So
they'll be shaking.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's 1 a.m. Saturday morning our time. So that's a few hours from now as we record. And the winner of that will get to face off against Lanning, get get to be beaten by Lanning's Delhi Capitals, which will be early Monday morning our time. So we'll probably just watch the highlights of those, right?
Yeah, right.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we just have time to cover the tests between New Zealand and Australia. Two tests that we've just had a glorious time watching.
Yeah, it was really good. So we actually went to Wellington for the first test, which was just
delightful.
Awesome.
Yeah, fantastic. Such a lovely place to visit.
So lovely that I think we're contemplating going back there to watch the New Zealand England test later in the year. So I mean that would be an opportunity to support the Black Caps without coming off as condescending Australians, which is always a risk when you go over there.
Yeah, that's right. I'd love to be there. I mean we were kind of supporting the Black Caps in these matches as well, right?
But it is risky. People go, oh come on, you're just an Aussie just going, oh, it'd be good if you guys made it competitive for once.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
So very risky play.
Well, we watched the first day of the series on the TV and then we flew to Wellington the next day.
Yep.
So we only missed the first session, but we missed a fair bit of cricket.
We missed some interesting things because as we got on the plane at stupid o'clock, like 5 a.m. or something, I jokingly sent out a message on various social media platforms saying I was looking forward to Hazelwood's 50 when we landed. Ha ha ha, very funny. And then when we did land, we were very confused because it looked as if Australia was still on the exact same score as when
we
left.
That's right. They went the night before, it had been 9 for 279. Mm. And we landed and it seemed to be 9 for 279 still.
Yeah, so we were trying to work out had they not played. It looked very sunny out there. We were trying to work out were our cricket apps not uploading? Was our SIM card not working? What was going on here? And then we realised it was actually 9 for 379 and that Green and Hazelwood had put on this stupid century partnership, which...
It was very funny. They fooled us.
They completely fooled us. We it was not until we were halfway through customs that we realised what was going on.
Yeah. But anyway, we got to the ground pretty quickly and just as we're arriving, Kane Williamson and Will Young decided to collide with one another and then Williamson's out for a duck and then Ratchan was also out for a duck. So we got there in time to see a couple of ducks. Mm. Not our fault.
Not our fault
at all. We were very keen to see Ratchan, Ravindra.
And Kane Williamson.
Yeah, scored double centuries each. Yep. I would have been quite happy with that for the entire afternoon. But no, it wasn't to be. It was a bit of a collapse.
And it pretty much ensured that New Zealand were doomed in the first test. Mm. And that turned out to be the result. Still, we did enjoy ourselves at the cricket.
So great.
A lovely ground.
Yep.
I think my favourite bit was there was a urinal with a small window at eye line height that let me look out to see Kane Williamson caught at leg slip. So that's what you want in a cricket ground. Yeah. If you're in the toilet and you can look out and actually see a wicket fall.
When you said there was a small window at eye line height, I wondered if you might have been peering into the urinal.
No, definitely looking out. You did try to get me to take a photo, a POV from
That's
inside
right.
the toilet. A little bit risky to take out a camera when you're inside a urinal.
Depends how many people are next to you.
Yes.
When you, I'm sure you wouldn't be the first person to have done that.
Yes.
But I loved lying on the hill. You could lie down on the hill, the famous Basin Reserve Hill.
Yep.
And if you just put a little pillow or something, a rolled up jumper behind your neck, you could lie down flat and actually see the action happening. It was amazing. It was
fantastic.
So great.
Yes. I think we also enjoyed the security guards who would amuse one another by racing to the middle of the ground whenever there was a break in play. They'd see who could get there first. They weren't quite as keen to race to the middle of the ground when the streaker came in there. They're just like, oh, shit, what's happening here?
Took them quite some time.
Yes.
They were having so much fun having those races, though. Yes. I've never seen that happen before. And also we loved the fact that the crowd was extraordinarily polite. Mm. Where they were just beautiful New Zealanders.
Even when they got a little bit rowdy, like a few drinks at the end of the day, when Nathan Lyon was night watching and feigning some kind of arm injury to waste time, they were yelling abuse at him. And then suddenly the announcer started speaking. They all went silent. It's like, shush, shush, there's an announcement, fellas. And then they listened to the announcement that Tim Southee had broken some obscure record.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was so funny.
Yes.
And also it was so lovely. All the cricketers were signing lots of things on the boundary because it was a free boundary where the kids could just run around and stand on the boundary with their autograph things ready. Yeah. And everyone, particularly Ratchan Ravindra, very popular
a
on the boundary.
Boy.
Local boy, comes from Wellington.
Yes, yes. So he was getting, enthusiastically cheered on. Just walking in from the boundary edge as the bowler ran in, they'd yell out, good walking in, Chinny.
Yep.
And that's how you field.
Yeah, that's right. Nice autographing, Shinny.
Yeah, it was very funny.
Yeah, it was really good. But the Australians, there were lots of Australians in attendance. Mm. It was a lovely quick trip across to Wellington. But we saw a father and son. And what were they wearing, Dan?
Well, you spotted this. They were in yellow T-shirts. The father, I think, had G Chapel on the back of his shirt and the son had T Chapel on the back of his, which I think we decided was too soon.
Yeah, too soon.
Yeah, but kind of good move from the dad. So like, all right, you could be the one who bowls underarm.
Yeah, I'll tell you what to do. Yeah,
exactly.
Yep. Yeah. So that was great. And then of course, did a bit of sightseeing, came back to watch the second test back in Australia, which was a very exciting match. Mm. It was fabulous. New Zealand was put into bat after Cummins won the toss and then bowled out for 162. And then over 2 days, kind of fighting their way back into the contest. It was great.
Yeah, and they didn't only fight their way back into it. They actually took a significant lead and should have won it by the end of the third day.
Yep.
And instead they messed everything up on the fourth day.
Yeah.
Alex Carey and Mitch Marsh and Pat Cummins managed to get Australia home with 3 wickets to spare. But there was a little bit of controversy about the winning runs.
Mm. I think it's wonderful that Pat Cummins, the captain, is in fact a bowler because it allows the captain to come in and do the captain's knock thing. Whereas in most games where it comes down to the wire like this, where the tailenders have to win it for a country, the captain's long gone usually.
Yep.
So Pat Cummins, of course, renowned for coming in at the end and doing all of this. But so much so that he hit the match-winning boundary. But poor Carey stranded at the other end on 98 not.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't have much sympathy for Alex Carey because Cummins has hit the winning boundary now in Australia's last 3 successful fourth innings run chases of 250-plus. And that includes his debut as a teenager. So he's been doing this for more than a decade. So Carey
before he was captain, in
exactly.
fact.
Exactly. Carey should have known that, you know, Cummins cannot resist hitting the match-winning runs.
Yep.
And if he really wanted this century, he should have manipulated the strike better. Yes, he only has himself to blame.
Exactly.
But, yeah, the winning runs from Cummins and his effort in the fourth innings means that he's got this amazing fourth innings batting average, which is pretty much better than all the batters in the Australian side. So his fourth innings batting average is 33.57. Do you want to go through the list of who
better
that's better than?
It's better than Steve Smith at 33, better than Usman, 29, better than Marnus at 29, better than Cameron Green at 25 and Mitch Marsh at 19.
Yeah.
That is such a good stat.
That's a great stat. I mean, he's just behind Travis Head, who is at 36.
Yep.
And Alex Carey's 98 not out pushed him up to 39.25. So he's currently the best.
He got something out of it then.
He should be grateful to Cummins for hitting the winning runs that got him the red ink, because otherwise, if he'd got out on 98, his fourth innings average would have dropped to 31.4. So Cummins is just looking after his wicketkeeper batter.
Absolutely.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, this episode is sponsored by my newsletter over at newsletter.libcricket.com. So you probably think that with Test Cricket winding down now for a while, there'll be less content over on my newsletter. And you'll be right. There'll be certainly far fewer daily report cards. But the gap in cricket just means I'll have more time to write one-off comedy pieces, which is what I'll be doing until at least the T20 World Cup. So if you sign up for that over at newsletter.libcricket.com, you'll get all those silly comedy pieces delivered straight to your email inbox for free. And you can also pay, but you don't have to. Paid subscribers get random benefits, some of them quite enticing, but that's fine. You don't need to pay. You can get access to all kinds of good stuff for free. So feel free to do that over at newsletter.libcricket.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump.
a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Let's play. Are you smarter than a fifth grade cricketer?
So here we are in the quiz. Are you smarter than a fifth grade cricketer? And I think I am the subject coming out to bat here in the fifth grade. So what are we going to be doing our quiz on today, Dan?
Well, it'll be based upon the India-England series, which finally wrapped up. So India did go on to win the fourth and fifth tests of the series since we last recorded, which meant they won the series 4-1. And this quiz will be based upon the highlight of the last test. Not Jimmy Anderson taking his 9 millionth test wicket. It was instead Johnny Bairstow and Shubman Gill getting into a bit of a sledging war. So this was Bairstow's 100th test. The England selectors sadly ignored my plea to axe him on 99 for a little bit, just to see how he reacted. That would have been quite funny.
Well, they've got form on that before, haven't they?
But it wasn't to be. They let him play his 100th test. Mm. Jimmy Anderson, in the test where he took his 9,000th wicket, started the sledging. He apparently asked Gill whether he ever got any runs outside of India.
That's a good classic.
Yep. And Gill replied, "It's time to retire."
Oh, that's pretty predictable.
Yep. And then Anderson took his wicket a couple of balls later. So
fabulous.
You
won that one.
One up to Anderson. But Gill had already made a century. So it's kind of on as even, I think, at that stage. And you might think, all right, that's probably the end of it. Except the next day, Johnny Bairstow arrives at the crease and he's still fired up. So he pops in and he goes, "What did you say to Jimmy about him retiring?" And Gill replied, "I told him he should retire." And Bairstow said, "And then he got you out next ball." And Gill said, "So what? How many times is he?" And Bairstow interrupted him and says, "I was just asking." And Gill said, "He can get me out after my 100. And Bairstow said, 100%. And Gill said, "How many hundreds do you have this series?"
Now that is a good sledge.
And Bairstow said, "How many of you scored full stop?" And so lots of questions in that back and forth. So inspired by that line of questioning, we're going to play a little game of Bairstow versus Gill.
Do I have to answer every question with a question?
No, you don't.
Because that would be fun too.
It would be fun. You can if you like.
Okay.
But we will start with question one, which is one of the questions that was in that little sledging back and forth. Mm. How many hundreds did Johnny Bairstow score in that India v England series?
Well, how many did you think he scored? I think he scored none.
Yeah, he didn't score a single run.
Because I think Gill already knew that. Well, maybe not, but it was a good sledge.
Yes. I'm not even sure he scored a half century. I think he got a lot of 30s and 20s.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. That's one out of one for you. Mm. Question two, we'll go to the other major question in that in that back and forth. How many hundreds has Shubman Gill scored full stop?
Right.
Is it? I'll give you multiple choice for this one.
Yeah.
So is it A, 4, B, 6, C, 1, D, all of the above?
So B and D are the same.
Well, maybe.
I thought he'd scored more than 6. So now I'm going to have to guess. Where am I going to guess? I'm going to guess 6.
You're going to guess 6, so you're going answer B?
Yep.
No, the answer is actually D, all of the above.
Right.
So he scored 4 test centuries.
Oh, yes, okay.
6 ODI centuries and 1 T20 century.
All right, so my instinct was correct, but I answered it incorrectly. That's good.
Yep. So congratulations to Shubman Gill for those various records.
Yeah.
Okay, question three. Who has the higher test average out of Johnny Bairstow and Shubman Gill?
Ugh, no idea. I would have guessed they were pretty similar, but I think I'm going to go with Gill.
Bairstow.
Really?
Bairstow is slightly ahead of him. Bairstow has a test batting average of 36.39 and Shubman Gill has 35.52.
Oh, God. So there are only 1 out of 3 questions here.
Yeah, so you're
How
in
many
trouble.
Questions in total?
I think it's 5 questions, 6 mm-hmm. questions maybe, 6 mm-hmm. questions. All right, question 4. One of these two has bowled 0 overs in international cricket. Which one?
I think I know that Gill has bowled something. I'm not sure what. Probably right arm off nude offies roughly, or something. Yep. I think it's Bairstow.
Bairstow has bowled zero.
Oh, sorry. Yep. One of these players has bowled
zero
overs. Yep. Bairstow's bowled zero overs.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, Bairstow has bowled zero overs. Gill has bowled seven balls in Test cricket.
Oh.
And he's bowled two ODI overs. So neither of them are particularly famed for their bowling prowess. But
no.
Gill has the slight edge over Bairstow on that front.
He's got a couple of dot balls in there, presumably.
Presumably.
But no wickets.
No wickets. Okay. Question five.
Mm. I'm two out of four, right?
You're two out of four. One of these players has a better strike rate than the other in each of the three formats. Which one?
God.
One of them is a slightly faster hitter.
I'm going to guess, this is complete guesswork on all of these questions. I'm going to guess Bairstow.
No, the answer is Shubman Gill.
Oh.
So it's very tight. These two are remarkably similar batting stats at this stage of the career. Obviously, Gill has played far fewer matches. But Gill's strike rate in tests is 59.37 compared to Bairstow's 59.07.
Huh.
In ODIs, Gill 103.46, Bairstow 102.9. So, I mean, that's half a run per 100 balls. It's very minute.
Yeah.
In T20s, he does have quite a substantial lead. He's got 147.57 to Bairstow's 137.57.
Okay.
Gill was also the fastest player to 2,000 runs in ODIs. So
wow.
Fastest in history. In 38 innings, Bairstow was the 13th fastest in 49 innings. So that was going to be a question, and then I thought, no, I won't give you that one.
Both reasonably. Okay, so even to get 3 out of 6, now I have to get this in the last question right.
Yes. So what has happened more? Has Anderson taken Gill's wicket more, or has Bumrah taken Bairstow's wicket more? This is in Test cricket.
Well,
because Anderson barely plays any ODIs or T20s. I'm sure he hasn't played an ODI or T20 against Gill.
No. I think that Gill talking to Anderson, I think that sledging would suggest that the bigger rivalry there is Anderson getting Gill out. So I'm going to go with Anderson's taken Gill's wicket more often.
Yes, that is correct. Anderson has taken Gill's wicket 6 times in 8 tests. Bumrah has taken Bairstow's wicket a measly 5 times in 13 tests.
Oh, right.
But
okay.
But Gill averages 35.83 in those tests.
Yep.
Because he doesn't care. Once he scores 100, he doesn't care if
no.
Anderson gets him out. Bairstow averages 11.4 in the tests where Bumrah gets him. So so there's something there.
There is definitely something there.
Yes.
I mean,
all right, so you're 3 out of 6. So maybe I'll give you one more bonus question to break the tiebreaker. So the bonus question is a very simple one. Which one has been dismissed by Steve Smith?
Very simple, you
very
think?
Very simple.
I'd say it's Bairstow.
It is Bairstow.
Hey.
He was caught and bowled at Lord's in 2013 for 67.
Oh,
so,
lovely.
Yes. So there you go. I think that tiebreaker means you are smarter than a fifth grade cricketer.
Phew. Thank you, Steve Smith.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week, the funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is gonna join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller reward.
Here is the Moeller Award for underappreciated acts in cricket, named after Scotty Moeller, who couldn't bowl or couldn't throw, according to Shane Warne, allegedly.
Allegedly, yes.
Now we have 3 nominations. Do we have more? We have 3 nominations. So I'll see what's your first one, Dan.
All right, so the first one I've got here is this is the Cricket World Cup qualifying ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great game between traditional rivals, Malaysia and Vanuatu.
Okay, yeah.
And the scores were level. Malaysia were going to lose. Vanuatu were going to hit the winning runs at some point. But Malaysia had their eye on their net run rate.
They
knew that if, for example, Vanuatu hit a 6 off the last ball, that would do slightly more damage to their net run rate than otherwise. And it's very tight, so you don't want to waste that many runs. So they deliberately bowled a wide.
Oh.
So it just cost them the one run, the absolute minimum margin of victory.
Yep.
Very ruthless stuff from the Malaysia side. So good thinking from them.
Mm.
And a few people got a bit upset about it. But no, I say good work from them. So congratulations to Malaysia. They're our first nomination.
Very strategic. And I've always wondered, when there's one ball to go, what does a captain come over and tell the bowler?
Yeah, well, they did have a chat beforehand. They came over and so they were like, we don't want him to do a 6. Just bowl it out there to third slip. And so that's what he did.
Fantastic. All right. My nomination for Sri Lanka or possibly Bangladesh, because these two teams hate each other at the moment, and it's great. And
it's a bigger rivalry than Malaysia and
Vanuatu. Yeah, it certainly is. And also a bigger rivalry than Gill and Anderson or Gill and Bairstow.
Yep, massive.
Anyway, the Bangladesh side are still making fun of Angelo Matthews timed out, as they should, as everyone should.
Yes.
So doing wonderful things like checking their watches every time he comes out to bat. Even the umpires getting into it, you know, just ignoring the blatant spikes on Snicko and upholding not out decisions. And so there's going to be a test soon. It'll be the last test for about 1,000 years. So hopefully it'll be streaming somewhere and we can watch it.
Yeah, I think we definitely need to watch that, because there's something's going to go down in that test. There'll be a handle the ball appeal. There'll be something.
Some kind of bizarre appeal. There'll be appeals for every marginal kind of dismissal.
Yeah, and I can't wait. So yeah, hopefully it is streaming. I'm not sure what time. I think the Bangladesh time zone is pretty similar to the India time zone. So that's usually pretty good for us.
I want Angela Matthews mic'd up so we can get the sledging and everything else. Yes, that would be great.
Definitely. So looking forward to that test series. Not entirely sure when it's on, but whenever it is on, we will try our best to track it down. The third and final nomination, this was in an under-23s domestic Indian competition. This is Prakar Chaturvedi. He was given out caught behind, and the video on this is magnificent. So he edged it to the keeper. Keeper dived across. Keeper clearly dropped the ball,
fumbled the catch,
rolled in front of him. He reached out his arm, dragged it all the way back into him. The umpire just
didn't see it.
Vagued out at some point. I think he saw the edge, saw it go into the gloves initially, raised his finger, and then at no point changed his mind. He just said, oh, well, I raised my finger, off you go. There you go.
Wow.
They didn't call him back. It was just that. The umpire's given him out. Fair enough. So,
but was this caught on video?
It was caught on video. It's some great footage of a ball rolling along the ground and the umpire still holding up the finger proudly. That's caught.
And no one in the fielding side saying, oh, we better withdraw that.
No withdrawals of the appeal.
They just appealed. Yep. Like the keeper, after doing that, just appealed?
Yep. They'd already appealed when they thought he'd catched it. But they certainly could have withdrawn the appeal. Didn't bother.
Nah.
Screw it. No DRS. So.
Well, maybe the captain wasn't watching either.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe no one was watching.
No one was really paying
except
any attention.
Except the cameraman.
The keeper may not have even known he dropped it, just instinctively reached out. Give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, you could have blacked out for those microseconds in between that.
Exactly. Mm. So, yeah, there are our three nominations. Who's going to get the muller this week?
I think we have to give it to that keeper. We don't know his name, but Prakar Chaturvedi was given out. So it's the keeper, though, who's going to get the muller.
Definitely the keeper who gets the muller. Congratulations, mystery keeper with the sloppy fingers, who still gets wickets.
Yes.
So I think that wraps us up for the week.
Fantastic. You've been listening to Dan Libke at Lib Cricket and Kat Jones at Cricket Back Kat. Come and join us on Blue Sky or wherever you like to join on social media. Dan copies and pastes all of his tweets to about 10 different platforms.
Yeah,
so,
thousands. Literally a zillion platforms.
That's right. And don't forget to subscribe to Dan's newsletter, newsletter.libcricket.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.